Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to share a message with you. In fact, we're going to have a brief series on this subject, that He first loved us. This morning, we're going to talk about being filled with His love. The Bible tells us that God is love. He doesn't just love us, but He is love. It's part of His character and person, His makeup. It's part of who He is. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel. It is the gospel in miniature. It is the greatest message of the Bible, that God, who is the greatest, so loved, that's the greatest love, the world, that's the greatest need, that He gave, that's the greatest act, His only begotten Son, that's the greatest gift, that whosoever, that's the greatest invitation, believes, the greatest simplicity, all you have to do is believe, in Him, the greatest person, should not perish, that's the greatest deliverance, but that's the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, that's the greatest possession. He first loved us. That's what the Bible says. Such a basic, simple truth from the Word of God, but how we need a deeper understanding of that love and to allow that love of God to fill our hearts. I heard one pastor say that, you know, church needs to be like a swimming pool, where you have a shallow end and you have a deep end, because there are young converts and people that come in and they need to have a shallow end where they can get in and begin to learn and to grow. Some churches just have a shallow end. They don't ever grow. They don't ever really learn to be a disciple of the Lord, and they don't go on in the things of God. Some churches just have a deep end. You know, and new people come in and they're overwhelmed. They don't understand. There's not really a place for them to begin the Christian life. The church needs to have both. And you know, I see that truth in this morning, what we're talking about, because the love of God is something that everybody can understand. Everybody needs to know that God loves them. But I see in the body of Christ that we also need a deeper understanding. Some of us maybe have served the Lord for many years, but we need a deeper, a greater revelation of how much He loves us. You see, it is a simple, basic message, and yet I really believe this morning that there's more here than what most believers have realized and what most believers have experienced in their life. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 21. This is a prayer prayed and recorded by the Apostle Paul as he's praying for the Ephesians, one of several prayers here, but he's praying for them, and I believe that this prayer is recorded in Scripture. I believe all the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This prayer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is recorded in Scripture, not only so we also could pray this prayer, but also so that we could see some of the truths, the powerful truths that are recorded here in Scripture as he prayed this prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Now listen to this wording here. May have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. All right, we're ready to pray now. Pray with me. Father, we just come to you this morning. We ask, Lord, exactly that. Lord, that you would give us that power to know this love. Lord, to understand this love. Father, I pray that not only our minds would be receptive and open, but our hearts, Lord, would be receptive and open to know and to truly understand this love. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that you would pour it into our hearts today, that you would fill us fresh and anew with your love, and that our lives would be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He said that it's a love that surpasses knowledge. It is beyond our comprehension. It's a love that we are incapable of fully understanding with the carnal mind. And it is only as God, by his Holy Spirit, pours that love into us that we can really understand it, that we can really know just how far-reaching it is. I tell you, he'll reach you no matter where you are. He'll reach you no matter how far you stray away. No matter how deep in sin, his love goes deeper. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. See, you can't really talk about God's love and how that he first loved us without mentioning grace, because it's undeserved, it's unearned. It's just his love for us. It's his grace for us. Now in verse 18 and 19, he prayed that they may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now I want you to catch this in verse 19. He says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and then what happens? That you may be filled with all the fullness, filled to the measure, with all the fullness of God. You see, when you really get a greater revelation of the love of God, when you really know how wide and long and deep and high is the love of God, he says, then you'll be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. Do y'all's Bible say that too? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I tell you, there is a measure that we need in the body of Christ. I need in my life, you need in your life, to be filled with that measure of the love of God, that you are filled with all the fullness of God himself. God is love, and when you're full of his love, you are full of God. I tell you, he will pour his love into your heart. You can be filled with him. Romans 5 and 5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The King James says, shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. You know, I did a little bit of a word study this week on that word, shed abroad or poured, and it is literally talking about pouring in abundance, that God wants to just pour that love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He pours the love of God into our hearts to overflowing. Not just a little bit, not just enough to get you by. He wants to pour it in us in abundance. But God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, when you get filled with something, it pushes everything else out. When we get filled with the love of God, we get filled with all the fullness of God. We get filled with God himself. And I'll tell you, it'll push all the junk out of your heart. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. And I want you to focus on that last part this morning. He first loved us. He first loved us. You didn't love him first. You can't get good enough. He first loved you. When you were unlovable, when you didn't deserve it, when you were at your very worst. Some people say, well, I ain't gotten to my worst yet. He's still going to love you. He loves you at your very worst. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrates it. He proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Loves us at our very worst. He loves us first. Ephesians chapter 2. Did you know the Bible talks about you personally? It does. This is one of those passages that you might as well put your name in it, because it's talking about you. It's talking about me. And here's what it says, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. As for you, it's talking about you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I get my King James and NIV mixed up here sometimes. Y'all just bear with me. All of us. That's all of us. There's no exceptions. He's talking about all of us. Also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature the objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. You see, he loved us first when we were at our very worst. And church, we have to become convinced of the love of God. We have to know how much he loves us. If you're really going to be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God, you need this revelation, this understanding of how much he loves you. I tell you, he first loved you not because of anything that you have done. In fact, it is in spite of our meanness, in spite of our foolishness, our bad habits. You know, I tease, I like to cut up and joke around, and sometimes I tease people by saying, well, I love you anyway. And they usually say something like, well, anyway, what did I do? As they're around me a little more, they learn I'm just playing. But you know, that is exactly the way he loves us. He loves us anyway. There's none of us that deserve it, but he just loves us anyway. He loves us first, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He made us alive in Christ, took our sins, past, present, and future. He loved us enough to redeem us and to make us his very own. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. How great is this love that he would call us his very own sons and daughters. We've been adopted into the richest family in the universe. What an awesome thing. You may not realize how rich you are. You need a deeper understanding of the love of God. Romans chapter 8. I want you to turn there. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 29 all the way down through the rest of the chapter. Now, some of you bring some Bibles, all right? I know we got it up here on the screen, but I tell you, preachers start feeling lost when you give a scripture and nobody's turning, all right? So somebody get a book or something and just start thumbing, will you? I want to know you're with me. Romans chapter 8. And by the way, I still believe, you know what? I know when you see it up there on the screen that y'all all believe that Heather's back there putting the real Bible up there. I know you do. But I also know there's something different when you see it in black and white for yourself in your own Bible. And so I just encourage you. You know, it doesn't matter what the preacher says. It's what the Bible says. But when it's straight from the Bible, and you see, that's what I want. I want you to see that it's straight out of the Word of God. When you see that it's straight, that it's straight from your Bible, right there in black and white, then I tell you, you can live by it. You can stand on it. You can count on it. And I just encourage you, you know, in your own devotional time, as you study the Word of God, you know, go over these messages again and let God speak to you. Don't allow the enemy to snatch away and steal away the seed of the Word of God that he put in your heart. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin from verse 29. For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. He loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. God is conforming us into the image of his Son. Philippians 1:6 says that he that began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete what he's begun in us. He loves you just like you are, but he wants to do a work in your life. And those he predestined, he also called. In Isaiah 43, he says, I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, you might not have ever heard the voice of the Lord call your name, but I believe he has. I believe he's called every one of you by name. He says, I have called you by name. You are mine. One little boy, you know, we're studying the Lord's Prayer right now on Wednesday night. One little boy was struggling, having trouble with the Lord's Prayer, and he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, how'd you know my name? He does. He does know your name. And he loves you. And he's called you. He says, you are mine. Child of God, he loves you that much. Those he called, he also justified. He paid the price. He acquitted us. It's already been taken care of. He looks at us as somebody that's never sinned because of the price that Jesus paid. He removed the guilt, the condemnation. He removed the judgment that's to come. Those that he justified, he also glorified. He put the Spirit of Christ in us. Colossians tells us that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Verse 31, he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I tell you, if you knew how much he loved you, you would realize it doesn't matter what the odds are. It doesn't matter how many stand against you, what opposition there may be. If God is for you, who can stand against you? I tell you, he loves you. You need to know it. You need to know it beyond any doubt that he is for you. Verse 32, it says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Now, you know, I know that some people pull this scripture out of context and abuse it, and they say, all things. Let me tell you, God's not going to give you everything you ever coveted or lusted after. But he won't withhold any good thing from you. Your Father loves you, and he knows how to give good gifts to his children. And if he's already given the greatest gift he could ever give us, his own son, how will he withhold anything from you? I tell you, he loves you and he wants to bless you. And if you understand the love that God has for you this morning, it will strengthen your faith. It'll take your faith to another level in believing God. Because listen, when you know he loves you like he does, you know that he'll answer your prayer, that he cares about the things that you care about. Verse 33 and 34 says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, he loves you so much, he'll not even entertain an accusation against you. Isn't that amazing? He won't entertain it. The accuser of the brethren comes and wants to bring an accusation. You reckon the accuser of the brethren could say something bad about you? Could he come up with some dirt on you? Maybe something that nobody knows? But let me tell you what happens. Jesus, our advocate with the Father, is there at the right hand of God interceding for us. And he's saying, Father, I already paid for that. I already took care of that. There's no accusation the enemy can bring against you. When it's under the blood, it's gone. You've been acquitted. You've been justified. That's how much he loves you. Jesus says, I was wounded for that. I was bruised for that. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know, this was written when many of these things were happening. These were not just pretty words. These were not exaggerations to make a point. Many of the believers were living through these very circumstances: trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. None of it can separate you from the love of Christ. That's how great his love is. Nothing can separate you. No battle, no circumstance, nothing. Now, some people think that if God loved me, if God really loved me, he would fix all my problems. I'm telling you, I know as a pastor, I hear this, maybe not in those exact words, but in basically that attitude, and basically that's what people are saying a lot of times, and I know that many of you hear it from other believers and from unbelievers. If God loved me, he wouldn't allow this, and he would fix this, and he would take care of that. I wouldn't have any problems. If God really loved me, he would do what I want, and he would get rid of all my problems. I tell you, church, we need to grow up. It sounds like we're 8 years old when we say things like that. It's like an 8-year-old who's in the Walmart with mom and says, I want that toy and that toy. Mom, if you loved me, you would give me that toy. Mom, if my parents really loved me, they wouldn't make me clean my room. If my parents really loved me, they'd go down the street and beat up that bully. If my parents really loved me, they would let me have what I want, let me do what I want, and they would get rid of all the problems in my life and make everything perfect for me. Now, how many of you parents think that's a good plan? I'm telling you, your father loves you, and the fact that you have problems and that you're dealing with issues and struggles and hardship and trouble in life doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He loves you, and he's going to be there in the midst of that to bring you through to victory. He loves you so much, he'll never leave you. His presence will be with you, and he'll see to it that you come out victorious on the other side. But he's not going to just take away all your problems and hardships and difficulties. Then you're not an overcomer. You're not more than a conqueror. You're still a baby. Well, church, we need this. We need to grow up. We need to realize that the love of God is so much greater. It's so much greater than all of our problems and our struggles. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, we're going to come out in victory. We're more than conquerors through him who loves us. And all these things. Now, you know, some of us, you just need to make your own list of problems, whatever they might be. All kinds of difficulties and heartaches and struggles, losing a job or a rebellious child, an unfaithful spouse, a loss of a loved one, a chronic illness, problems with a coworker, a betrayal of a friend, too many bills to pay. You see, we can have a long list. None of those can separate you from the love of God. God's love is greater than all of that. And we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to be convinced this morning. We have to be convinced this morning that whatever we're going through, there is nothing in death, there's nothing in life that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that we're going to face in the present or in the future. Listen, worrying about the future and wondering what's going to happen, nothing you're going to face is going to separate you from the love that God has for you. Nothing in all creation. What does that include? Everything but God himself, because he is the only uncreated. Everything else he created, and there is nothing in all creation that will separate you from his love. We need to know it, church. We need to know it personally. We need to experience it personally. We need to have a fresh awakening of the love of God for us, that he first loved us. Let me tell you, if you read the Gospels and you understand about the ministry of Jesus, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to hurting people, to people that were sick, and he healed them. He came to people that were demon-possessed and oppressed of the devil, and he set them free. He came to people that were bound up in sin, and he turned their lives around. Why? He didn't just do that to prove that he was the Messiah. You know, part of the temptation of Jesus was Satan tempted him. He said, if you are the Son of God. Jesus wasn't just trying to prove who he was by doing a few miracles to show everybody. He did those miracles in the lives of people because he loves people. He healed people because he loved them. He sets people free because he loves them. He turns our lives around because he loves us. And listen, he's still the same. He still loves people, and he still heals, and he still sets free. He's still binding up the brokenhearted. I tell you, he loves us. How we need a fresh revelation of that love every day, that we can be filled with his love because he has poured it into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, again, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Listen, Paul says it in past tense. He already had a hold of it. He had a revelation of it. And it's already done. It's available to us. But we need that understanding, and we need to take hold of it by faith and receive it this morning, that he has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God for that more and more in my own heart and life. And I'm believing that for each one of you, for our church, that God would just pour his love into our hearts. I tell you, it'll change you. It'll transform you. It'll change the way you look at life. It'll change the way you look at other people. It'll change your relationship with God, just to have him pour his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. How we need that. I'll tell you, in our world today, so many have been hurt, wounded, and you know, hurt is universal to all of us. Everybody gets hurt, but some more than others. And there's so much heartache in our world today. And even this morning in this congregation, I know there are people that have been hurt deeply. Maybe some things that happened in your past years and years ago, or it might be something that happened last week, but there are some wounds there and some hurts there. And I want you to hear this morning, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. The Bible says in Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them who are of a broken heart. He is close by. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. And I believe that if you'll receive that love of God this morning, as Romans 5:5 says, that he poured that love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that as he pours that love into you, that it will heal those hurts. Oh, I believe that that love is able to bind up that broken heart, that He's able to make your heart whole again. A lot of people in our world today are full of bitterness and resentment and anger. So many people have this anger in their heart, and it seems like it's just getting worse every year, where you see these mass murders where people don't even care about who they're killing. They just want to hurt some people. They're so full of rage and anger and this resentment. And you know, we see it in that kind of gross example, but it's also all around us every day. As you drive down the freeway and people are so angry and dealing with one another in life, and maybe even in the home where there's just anger and resentment. Many times it comes from those hurts and wounds and disappointments of the past. But I'm telling you this morning that the love of God poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit can drive out that resentment. It can heal the hurt and drive out that bitterness and that anger. When you get filled to overflowing with the love of God, I tell you, there's no room for that anger. A lot of people today in our world have fear in their heart. They're anxious, they're upset, they're troubled. Jesus told the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." People are worried about the economy, worried about their health, worried about their children, worried about all kinds of things. Listen, let the Lord pour that love into your heart. Because when you are so full of His love, if you really understand how high and wide and deep and long is the love of God, you don't have anything to fear. Don't let your heart be troubled. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. That love will drive the fear out of your heart. Oh, just to be that full of His love, that it drive out all of the anxiety, all of the fear from your heart. If you knew how much He loved you, you don't have to be afraid. Some have this sense of rejection in their heart, that they have been put aside or cast aside by others or by society, like you don't fit in. But I tell you, you're accepted by Him. He loved you first, just like you are. And that love can drive out that sense of rejection in your heart. Some have a feeling of inferiority, an inferiority complex in their heart, that they're not good enough. Or they don't measure up, or they don't deserve it. Well, we certainly don't deserve it, but He loves us. He loves us first. And when you're loved by Him and you understand that He chose you, you might not have been chosen on the team, but He chose you. He loves you. You're His son, His daughter. You're not inferior. You're a child of the Most High. He has lavished His love on you by calling you His son or daughter. And I tell you, if we let that love fill our heart, realize that He's poured it out on us, that He has called us by name. For some, there's this emptiness in their heart, a lifelessness that only the Holy Spirit can fill. As He pours that love into your heart, He can satisfy, truly satisfy that thirst. Some have a loneliness in their heart. They can be in a crowd of people and still be lonely. But I tell you, when God fills your heart with His love, it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what other people do. When God fills your heart with His love, you know you are never alone, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, you treasure those times that you can be alone with Him. Never lonely. I tell you, God will pour His love into your heart, drive out all the loneliness. Some have a longing to love and be loved. I believe that's something that all of us have in life. But I think that even for a lot of believers today, there's still this longing. They wanna be loved. They wanna love and be loved, and they're looking and searching and sometimes in the wrong places. But the love of God will satisfy that longing to be loved. I want to give one more example of how that the love of God, when it's poured into our hearts, can change us. And this is strange, but I'm telling you, for the lukewarm in heart, for those that have sin or compromise in their heart, if you let God fill your heart with His love, it'll just drive that right out of you. Because you can't be lukewarm when God fills your heart with His love. You can't just half-heartedly serve Him when your heart is full of the love of God. When you really receive that and it's filled, what did He say in that prayer? That you receive it in that fullness, that full measure to all the fullness of God. I tell you, when you receive the love of God that way in your heart, you can't just halfway serve Him. You don't want anything in your life that would displease Him. No, you want to live for Him with all your heart. I told you earlier, nothing can separate you from His love. But we can reject it. We can neglect it. We can turn and walk away from it. We can be unaware of His love because of the hardness of our hearts and our unbelief. And like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, we can get up and leave the Father's house, do our own thing. But when we come to ourselves, when we realize that there is a God who loves us, I tell you, He will always come running to meet us. You may feel like you're unimportant. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like, well, you know, that's good for everybody else, but it doesn't include me. Well, you need to hear it. He loves you. He first loved you. He loves you just like you are, and He wants to pour that love into your heart. He declares in Jeremiah 31 and 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He loves you right now, and He's always going to love you. And I encourage you this morning to let His love fill your heart. I want you to stand with me. And as we pray this morning, the worship team's going to come back. And I just encourage you, even now as we begin to pray, invite the Lord. Ask Him to pour into your heart the love of God by the Holy Spirit. I tell you, there's a... Church, I believe the Lord gave me this word that for many, many people there have issues in their life and are going through problems in their life. If you'll allow God to fill your heart with His love, to fill it to the measure, I tell you, there is a freedom that's going to come in your life. There's a victory that's going to come, a breakthrough in your relationship with God. But then it's going to carry over into your relationships with others and the battles that you're facing. But here's the key. You got to have that love poured into your heart. Some of you struggling with relationships, let me tell you, you'll get the love of God poured into your heart to overflow, and it'll change things. It'll change things. Some of you struggling in your witness and wanting to have a bigger impact for Jesus, you get the love of God poured into your heart, it'll change things. Dealing with issues of the heart, hurts and bitterness of the past or anger, I tell you, the love of God can drive that out. He can heal the hurt and drive that out and make you a different person. He loves us. He loves us. Well, I said we're going to pray, but I want you to pray even now. I want you to just begin to invite the Holy Spirit to pour that love into your heart.